Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today. Well, today we're going to do not all things about the election, but specifically we're going to talk about prayer for the election. And every time there's an election, we, of course, as followers of Jesus, want to be in prayer about the election. A little while ago, I read an article by a guy that I respect greatly. His name is Dr. Michael Brown. Dr. Michael Brown has been kind of bringing moral sanity and spiritual clarity for quite some time. And I hope that you're able to find some of the articles that he writes, or listen to him on the radio, podcasting, wherever it might be. But Michael L. Brown is, you never agree with everything somebody says, but nevertheless is a pretty wise voice in today's culture. So I want to encourage you with Dr. Michael L. Brown. All right. A little while ago, as this election season got underway, I read an article by him that I kind of had some questions about and wanted to kind of run it by you. So just to give you a little bit about Michael Brown's background before we get into the article that he wrote, he became a believer in Jesus in 1971. He says that at that time in 71, he was a 16-year-old heroin-shooting, LSD-using Jewish rock drummer. And probably like a lot of people back in the 60s and 70s, you know, the long-haired, dope-smoking, maggot-infested hippies of the day. You know, that's kind of a lot of folks fit that category. But like many in his day, Jesus found him. And he came to faith in Jesus as a Jew. And so he brings that background as well. He holds a PhD in Near Eastern languages and literature. So this guy is a smart guy and has been a follower of Jesus for many years, and really is a blessing to people. So just to give you an idea of some of the kinds of articles he's written here in the recent past, how to cope with rejection for the gospel, was one that he wrote pretty recently. He wrote an article about Samaritan's Purse and the real gospel in action. He wrote an article about the death of Yahya Sinwar on the first day of Tabernacles and the effect that that will have on hopefully bringing some resolution, some peace in the Middle East. He wrote an article called God Forbid That Christian Conservatives Call for Political Violence. And so writes an article basically on applying faith to everyday life, which is kind of what we do here on the podcast. But nevertheless, he also does that and does it quite well. Anyway, a short while ago, he wrote an article that was entitled, let's see here, The 2024 Elections Are Coming, How Should Christians Pray? And I wanted to run this by you, give you my sense of it, maybe get your sense of what he says here. So I'm going to just read the short article. It'll probably take me about 2 or 3 minutes of Michael Brown, and then we'll talk it through. So he writes, how should we pray for the 2024 elections? Should we pray for a particular candidate, or in the case of non-presidential elections, candidates to win? Should we pray for specific issues and ask God to raise up those who will do the best job on those particular issues? Or should we simply pray, your will be done, Lord? He writes, in my entire life, I have never once prayed for a particular person to be elected, even if I had very strong convictions about who would be the best for the job. That's because I do not have God's perspective, and I don't know what He has in mind. What if we are deserving of judgment, and putting the wrong person in office, meaning wrong from our perspective, would be an act of necessary and painful judgment? And what if that divine judgment would be just the thing needed to lead us to repentance? Or what if putting the right person in office, again meaning right in our eyes, would lead to complacency on our end, whereas putting the wrong person in office would awaken us spiritually and stir us to action politically and socially? More simply still, what if we are only looking one move ahead, but the Lord is looking millennia ahead? (For the record, He is.) More accurately, his viewpoint is from everlasting to everlasting. How many times has one of our foreign policy decisions resulted in short-term gains but long-term losses? And how many times have we won the battle but lost the war? Things are much more complex than they seem, and only God knows the full future implications of our decisions today. But that doesn't mean we do nothing, quite the contrary. For our part, we do everything we can. We get informed, we learn about the issues and candidates, we vote. Some of us are also called to donate or lobby or run for office or engage in other politically related work. By all means, let us do what we know how to do. At the same time, let us not presume upon God to tell him or even ask him to put a certain person in office. For those who immediately say, "So you wouldn't pray for God to stop Hitler?" The answer is, number one, of course I would pray for the Lord to stop him and thwart the rise of evil. And number two, I would still not know for sure that getting a different candidate in his place would actually stop the evil. So I would lean more on praying for the Lord to stop Hitler. And number three, Hitler is not running for office in America today. To look at this from another angle, how do you feel about churches that prayed openly, corporately, and passionately for the election of Barack Obama? I can point you to large, influential African-American evangelical churches that did this very thing. More recently, other African-American churches prayed openly, corporately, and passionately for the election of other Democratic candidates by name, all of whom were pro-choice. How do you feel about that? And how do you think these black churches might feel about white evangelical churches that pray openly, corporately, and passionately for the election of Donald Trump or other Republican candidates? Do you think God is moved by this? Do you think if enough Christians pray for a particular candidate, that will influence the Lord? Of course, there is the larger question of whether God, working in a democratic voting country, puts a candidate in office or whether he simply allows the people to make the choice. For the sake of this article, though, let's assume that our prayers to him do play a role in the outcome of the election. It could be as simple as we pray, and he turns events in a certain direction to influence the outcome in a righteous way, such as bringing to light a smoking gun that sinks a corporate candidate, a corrupt candidate. Might be the same thing. That's my editorial comment. Anyway, back to Michael Brown. But that brings us back to the question of how we should pray. Without a doubt, we can always pray that the Lord would raise up the right kind of people to lead our nation, allowing him to determine exactly who those people are. We can pray for him to set in office people who fear God, trustworthy people who hate dishonest gain, as Exodus 18:21 says. We can pray for judges who will judge fairly and righteously, as Deuteronomy 16, verse 18 to 20 says. We can pray for him to raise up candidates who love and honor life. Many scriptures say that. But there's something else we can pray, since there are bigger issues than even the temporary well-being, security, and prosperity of our nation. We can pray in this way, and I borrow this from a colleague who is a real man of prayer. Quote, "Father, we ask you to order the outcome of these elections in a way that will best contribute to the flourishing of the church, the good of the nation, and the fulfillment of the Great Commission," unquote. Can we possibly go wrong if we pray in this way? In my view, we can pray prayers like this with great confidence, knowing that this reflects the heart and will of our God. It's a more specific way of praying, "Your will be done, Lord." And that's the end of the article from Dr. Michael L. Brown. Again, that's from August 25th, 2023. So more than a year ago as the elections were coming. So what are your thoughts? That we should or should not pray for a particular person or persons to be elected? What do you think about that? I have a high respect for Dr. Michael Brown. I've already shared that, and I've already encouraged you to finding places where you can either read his commentaries, listen to him, I'll give you a spot here at, well, I should just do that now so I don't forget to do that later, a spot to find him here. It's called, I think it's called In the Line of Fire, or The Line of Fire, I believe is his website, thelineoffire.org, I believe is his website. Check that out, see if that's it. But search for Dr. Michael L. Brown. Anyway, what do you think about what he says? I'm going to read one of his, I think it's two sentences, And I want to comment on the two sentences. In my entire life, I've never once prayed for a particular person to be elected, even if I had very strong convictions about who would be best for the job. That's because I do not have God's perspective, and I don't know what he has in mind. As I think about that, if I would apply that to every area of life, in any area of life, about anything in life, anytime, anywhere, I do not have God's perspective. I don't know what he has in mind. Given that logic, I would never once pray for anything in particular because I never quite know what God's perspective is. I would never pray for my health. I never pray for my child's health, my wife's health, because I don't know what God's perspective is. I would never pray for someone to recover from a disease because I don't know what God's perspective is. I would never pray for, literally anything. You could go down the list, name one of 100 things. I would never pray for any of them because I don't have God's perspective. But as a matter of fact, I do pray for those sorts of things. If someone I love is sick, I pray for them to get better, for instance. But how does Jesus teach us to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus prayed for a particular outcome. He prayed that he could avoid the cross. Well, that we know that wasn't God's will, but he prayed he could avoid the cross. Yet he said, not my will, but your will be done. So I would, if I was in dialogue with Dr. Brown, I would say, you know, I believe we should pray for a particular person or persons to be elected. And also in that prayer, be humble enough to say, Lord, I don't know that that's the best. And so if it is not the best, please do not do it. That's what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed for a particular thing, but then he said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And so it would be my sense that we should pray for a particular candidate if we believe that that candidate is the best candidate for whatever position it might be, all the way from local to state to national elections. We should pray for the election of a particular candidate, but also be humble enough to say, not my will, but your will be done. Also be humble enough to realize that what Michael Brown says in the very next paragraph could be very well true. When he writes, what if we are deserving of judgment, of putting the wrong person in office, the wrong person from our perspective? Maybe God desires that as a necessary and painful judgment. And what if that divine judgment is the thing needed to bring us to repentance? We need to be humble enough to realize that that might be indeed the case. So I would encourage us, as this or any election approaches, to be praying for the right person, quote unquote, the person that we believe is best, in other words, and given godly judgment, given our scriptural guidance, we should pray for that particular person to be elected, and yet have the humility to realize that God is doing bigger things than we realize. That as Isaiah says, God's thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways. And we need to be in a position like Jesus, after all, we are followers of Jesus, to pray, not my will, but your will be done. And so I love the prayer that he has at the end of his article. Quote, Father, we ask you to order the outcome of these elections in a way that will best contribute to the flourishing of the church, which might be through hard times, by the way, for the good of the nation and for the fulfillment of the Great Commission. I think that's a great prayer. And so why don't we end the podcast by praying that prayer together? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to order the outcome of these elections in a way that will best contribute to the flourishing of the church, the good of the nation, and the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Amen. I'm going to end the podcast there, but let me add this note because it also is covered by what Dr. Brown says in the article. He talks about about churches praying for certain candidates, and I want to say I am in complete agreement with him. I do not believe that churches should pray as a whole, particularly in public worship, for the election of a certain candidate. I think that is a violation of the church's call as a corporate body to be praying for a certain candidate. Because it would seem to me that there would be a freedom for difference, number one, amongst those who worship in church. And our prayers publicly as a church should be for those things where we all can say amen to that prayer. And so I think the practice of churches praying for, you typically see it for a African American candidate, a Democrat candidate. But also you see it for Republican candidates as well in some churches. I think churches praying for in a public prayer for the election of a certain candidate is wrong. I would commend to churches the prayer we just prayed, that God would work his will, and in private prayers be able to pray for a particular candidate as we see fit. So there you go. That's my thoughts. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. Want to encourage you to be praying. Of course, encouraging you to be voting, to be informed and vote. Your Christian conscience guided by the scriptures. Write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let me know what you think about this. Would you disagree with my thoughts? Agree with Michael Brown's thoughts in this particular case? Let me know your thoughts. Love to get in dialogue with you. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength and soar on wings like eagles. And we pray that God, of course, would be faithful to that promise as he always is in our lives. Thanks for listening to the podcast today.